This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 24th, Christmas Eve. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take you to Springfield and Tuba Christmas. Also get a forecast from meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, today's news. Christmas is being made harder by power outages in parts of eastern Illinois. Eastern Illini Electric Cooperative said it responded to widespread outages Wednesday morning throughout a six-county area. The utility won't say how many people have been affected or how long it might take to get all the electricity restored. Meanwhile, Ameren Wednesday morning was dealing with about 1,200 outages, mainly in the Champaign and Urbana areas and around Seymour and Danville. Amtrak says it hopes its service out of Chicago gets back to normal after hundreds of holiday travelers ended up waiting for nearly 24 hours for delayed trains. Amtrak says those delays were caused by snowstorms and frigid cold that caused technical problems on trains and froze track switches. About 600 Amtrak passengers waited for as many as 22 hours at Union Station in Chicago before their trains finally left yesterday afternoon. Amtrak says several trains scheduled to leave Chicago were also canceled on Tuesday, and passengers on shorter distance trains, including some to downstate Illinois, were put on buses instead. Amtrak is apologizing for the problems and says it wants to hear from any disgruntled passengers so the National Passenger Service can develop a better response next time. The U.S. attorney in Chicago is asking a state impeachment panel to stay clear of certain witnesses and testimony that could interfere with an ongoing federal investigation into the governor. Sean Crawford has more.
U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald says testimony from former and current high-level members of the Blagojevich administration should remain off-limits. That also includes others who have already pleaded guilty as part of the probe, including individuals such as Tony Rezko. Fitzgerald sent a letter in response to a committee request to delve into areas mentioned in a criminal complaint filed against the governor. Blagojevich is accused of, among other things, trying to sell the state's vacant U.S. Senate seat. While Fitzgerald gave a thumbs down to much of what the committee outlined, he added the areas the committee has already reviewed, such as state audits, campaign finance, and rulemaking, are okay to discuss. He also says the administration's hiring practices are fair game for the panel. Most legal experts expected prosecutors would try to steer the impeachment panel away from the more sensitive areas of their investigation. A House Democratic spokesman says the ranking members of the committee will decide where the process goes from here. The hearings are on hold until next Monday, when Blagojevich's defense attorney is expected to call witnesses. I'm Sean Crawford.
Two East Central Illinois lawmakers on that impeachment panel say they'll likely finish their business by early January. Republicans Chapin Rose and Bill Black are urging patience from the public, noting Illinois has never impeached a sitting governor. They also say the committee's purpose is not to seek out guilt or innocence, but to determine the governor's ability to do his job. Its report will be submitted to the full House, and if impeachment is recommended, then the Senate will hold hearings that more closely resemble a trial. And Black says speeding up his committee's process could prove costly.
We don't have a roadmap. We're trying to be as deferential to the governor's right of due process as possible, and we're trying to make sure we don't do anything wrong where the Senate will get into this in more of a trial proceeding and say, oh, we think you made a serious mistake of judgment here, and therefore we're going to throw out the articles of impeachment, and nothing happens.
Meanwhile, Rose and Black say the state is paralyzed financially, and they hold out hope the governor will step aside temporarily and let Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn assume duties. In that scenario, Blagojevich would still receive a salary, but Quinn could approve payment of bills like transportation reimbursements to school districts and for various agencies who are struggling to make ends meet. The union representing graduate student workers at the University of Illinois say reductions in health services on the Urbana campus are a violation of their contract. The Graduate Employees Organization has filed a grievance against the university. It has until January 1st to make a formal response. GEO spokesman Michael Simeone says recent cutbacks at the McKinley Health Center on campus violate the section of their contract that calls for working together on improving health care benefits. Instead, Simeone says the university has eliminated prenatal care and instituted prescription copays and price hikes. Simeone says the elimination of sonogram service effective New Year's Day was the straw that broke the camel's back.
And what it does is it takes a potentially isolated incident with the prescriptions and then turns it into a trend. So it's not just some kind of maneuver or a kind kind of isolated incident on the university's part to try to manage health care, or maybe that was a sacrifice they had to make. Now this is part of an overall pattern that's been going on to reduce benefits for graduate assistants.
Simeone says the cutbacks disproportionately affect women. That violates another section of the contract. The GEO filed its grievance against the university last week. If the university fails to respond by the January 1st deadline, Simeone says the matter would go into arbitration that could last months, but he says the GEO would rather work out things more quickly. A U of I spokeswoman has not yet returned calls seeking comment. Next April's race for mayor of Urbana will include a Green Party member for the first time. Durrell Cruz joins incumbent Democrat Laurel Prussing and Republican Rex Bradfield on the ballot. No parties will have primaries next year. Cruz is a retired school administrator. He says he was motivated to get into the mayor's race after Prussing fought his proposal for a referendum on switching Urbana to an instant runoff voting system. He also criticizes city government for being reactionary.
In some ways, city government tends to look at issues from a management standpoint rather than looking at them from a social needs sort of approach or philosophy of how can the government help people address and resolve some problems they might have.
Cruz uses this philosophy in explaining his opposition to a proposed criminal nuisance ordinance. He says it punishes people without working out ways to alleviate the problem in the first place. We talked to Rex Bradfield earlier this week. Mayor Prussing is out of the area and not available for comment at the moment. With a pardon from President Bush in his pocket, a retired Southern Illinois railroad worker is getting a fresh start and the chance to hunt again, 2 decades after he pleaded guilty to a federal charge. 52-year-old Richard Culpepper, who now lives in Mahomet, was convicted in 1987 of making a false claim by drawing unemployment while still working other jobs. The former railroad locomotive engineer says he was only trying to support his family and not commit a crime. The pardon that Culpepper received last month from Bush allows him to resume hunting. That's something he couldn't do because, as a convicted felon, he couldn't get a required firearm owner's identification card. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. And a reminder, there will be no new podcasts from AM 580 until Monday, the 29th. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The tuba doesn't have a reputation of being the coolest brass on the block. But as Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley reports in Springfield, tuba players are easygoing and have a good sense of humor, especially around the holidays.
Tuba players have distinct personalities from players of other instruments found in a band or orchestra.
Tuba players generally tend to be friendly and happy and, you know, willing to drink a beer and good folks.
That's Todd Cranson, director of bands at the University of Illinois at Springfield. Another trait of tuba players is their sense of humor, putting this spin on a Christmas favorite. Roger Schlichting has been playing in tuba groups across central Illinois and joined Springfield's first tuba Christmas concert this year. He says when he started playing the instrument, he knew it wasn't the most popular.
When I started in fifth grade playing the tuba, most of the boys played trumpet and most of the girls played clarinet, and a lot of people played drums. And I think my parents liked the idea because you really never have to buy a tuba. The school has one to loan to you.
Tuba players are becoming increasingly diversified, young and old, male and female. While males still dominate the tuba community, that tide is turning, according to Todd Cranson.
But it was only, you know, 60 or 80 years ago or something that women were allowed in orchestras playing any instrument except for harp or piano. And so, you know, we've come a long ways, and that's a good thing.
Another quality tuba players seem to have is the ability to adapt. Just as dozens of tuba players were taking their spots on the steps of the old state capitol for a holiday concert, they quickly changed their tune. Bride-to-be Brittany Burbridge, donning a full wedding gown along with her wedding party, was getting pictures on the steps of the old state capitol.
We were taking pictures before, and we were actually a little late, and then he's like, well, you guys need to get out. All the tuba players are coming, and we're like, okay, and then they all came out, and so we decided to take pictures with them.
Burbridge says the double booking was not a problem.
Totally, this is great. I love it. I wish they would have been here the whole time.
Along with a jolly reputation, maybe the tuba is a chick magnet after all. I'm Jenna Dooley.
Well, the nasty weather we've seen in the days leading up to Christmas is about to come to an end, but especially in far northern, far western, and northwest Illinois, we've still got another day of it at least. Periods of snow and sleet, according to meteorologist Scott Olthoff, with accumulations there of 1 to 3 inches, then turning windy and colder with blowing snow this afternoon. Elsewhere in the two states, rain likely, with rain gradually changing to snow before ending, turning windy and colder later, temperatures falling into the 20s for Wednesday afternoon. Highs taking place in the morning, ranging from 34 north to 57 south. In Champaign-Urbana, rain, drizzle, and fog, followed by windy and colder conditions, rain changing to snow, little or no accumulation, though, the high 38. And temperatures fall into the 20s for Wednesday afternoon. Tonight, becoming partly cloudy across the two states and much colder, lows from 2 below zero in the north to 28 south, the low in Champaign-Urbana 15. For Christmas Day, increasing cloudiness and highs from 21 north to 42 south, 32 in Champaign-Urbana. Christmas night, cloudy with some light freezing rain possible late, the low 28, temperatures rising again toward morning. Then on Friday, cloudy with rain likely in Champaign-Urbana, the high reaching 50 degrees. Rain likely Friday night with a chance of even a thunderstorm, the low 48. Then Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely with heavy rainfall possible and a high of 52. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. We will not be doing the news podcast until Monday the 29th. In the meantime, have a very Merry Christmas. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.